Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, June 23rd of 2021. And I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show, like I said, here on the 23rd of June of the year 2021 on a Wednesday night. And we're just so glad to have you with us, wherever you may be tuned in, however you might have heard about us. We're just glad that you have found us and that you have availed yourself to us tonight. And it's always a blessing whenever you listeners tune in to the show. It always is. I told you I was going to tell you how my interview went today. So what it was I got to talk. We were just exploring, you know, different careers, different things, you know. And I got to meet Jerry O'Donnell, who's the general manager of ESPN 100.9 FM. And I got to ask him different questions. One of the questions that I asked him was, how long has he been in the business of broadcasting? And he told me that between radio, TV, and everything else he's done in the broadcast world, he's been doing it since 1981. So 40 years this fall, 40 years, which is a lot of longevity to have done it for 40 years. And he started doing it when he was in high school. And he is now the general manager for ESPN 100.9 FM. He is also the public address announcer for the Loons, the Great Lakes Loons, which is the A League affiliate. High A affiliate here in the Mid-Michigan region. I know Lansing, who has a team, also tries to call themselves Mid-Michigan. They're not. They're more like South Central. When I think of Mid-Michigan, I think of like around here. Not Lansing. So, he told me his favorite part of his job is he likes getting to meet new people, and he likes being in. He just likes the energy of the job. He really enjoys it. And they're getting to meet new people, and he enjoys the different things that he's done over the years. His voice has actually, in a certain commercial thing that he did, he was heard on every continent of this earth except for Antarctica, where nobody lives. Where he was heard the most was actually some commercial for PBS Kids for some certain show back in 30 years ago, so in about 1991, that would have been. Of course, when he told me that, I told him, you know, Jerry, I would have been about 2 years old at the time, so I wouldn't have remembered it. And there's some challenges, like at Loon Stadium at Dow Diamond on Friday night, they're having a Latino night. And so he's going to try to say a lot of different things in Spanish. He also does a podcast just like what I'm doing right now with you, my listeners. He does a podcast. And talks about health stuff, you know, have you with Mid-Michigan Health. Like something they used to do on the ESPN 100.9 FM side. And he was impressed that I remembered those certain things. And ESPN 100.9 FM, it's the only radio station to be housed in a ballpark in America and possibly on Earth. The only, usually. The vast majority of the time, with the exception of at Dow Diamond, generally the stadium will be in one place. At one building, maybe even across the city or in another suburb or something, the stadium will be in one place. And the station studio, will be at another place. So generally it'll be a remote broadcast. Where at Dow Diamond, it is in-house. That is why they call that studio high atop Dow Diamond. So it's actually at the stadium. And he's been the PA announcer for the Loons, public address announcer, since all the way back to 2007, the first inaugural season of the Loons. And he explained to me that his job is busy all year round because he does other things with the station. He's the general manager of the station. And he even, and that station locally does high school football games, college basketball games, high school basketball games as well locally. So like, for example, the Midland High, Dow High football game is something that they're basically always featured at. Like I said, it was a fun time to get to talk to him And he mentioned how in the old days, when he started in the 80s, he used to, in the 1980s, it used to be very different back when he had started broadcasting in the 1980s. It was very different compared to now, or even back in 07 when he started the loons. So he told me some pretty fascinating stuff. He also said that we can all be broadcasters to a point. We can all be broadcasters, because right now, you may not know this, but I call into the number on my phone, and I'm doing this broadcast using my cell phone. And I'm broadcasting to you, my audience. And that's a cool, and so it's a cool thing. And when he started the station, it was noted, he noted that his different staff and producers, they were all listening to stuff using online on their phone. They were not listening to transmitted FM radio. He admitted that occasionally he will turn it on in his truck. I, much more often than not, use transmitted FM radio still. I mean, I like it. And you can call me old school if you want to. You can call me Mr. 8-Crack. You can call me... And I know I'm only 31 years old, and 8-Cracks had their day by the time I was born. So maybe if I was born in like the 60s or something, 8-Crack would be more appropriate, maybe. But it was fun getting to talk to him. And like I said, I asked him some questions, and he asked me a couple. It was a good, and he said he tries to do something different every year, being the PA announcer. He tries to come up with ideas for different promotions the loons can do on a yearly basis, like something that they haven't tried before. Though, even though there will be regulars. By regulars, I mean theme nights that make an appearance at least once per year, once per season. That's why I labeled them regulars. And so, like I said, it was insightful. He even reminded me of something that I had learned in being, you know, with being a broadcaster, like from different classes of mine at Delta, in which I had learned that radio is theater of the mind. And of course, in radio, you have to, if you're describing a game, if you are a radio play-by-play announcer, you have to describe the game as it is happening. And
So,
it was honestly very fascinating. I really enjoyed it. So, let me just check my... I was grateful for Jerry O'Donnell to having me in the studio. The high atop Dow Diamond studio, I must add. Because it is, after all, high atop the stadium. And they even do the Loons game broadcasts from inside of. No, I don't mean the Diamond, the studio. And they put it in there partly because part of why they put that in there was because the press box was so big to begin with that it almost made it almost like a waste of space. But it was when I asked him about part of a job, the job that he didn't like, it was real hard for him to give an answer. I have to tell you, it was real hard for him to give an answer. He said he didn't even mind working on holidays. And he feels like he loves his job. To him, it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like work to him. So, just wanted to let you know as to what the interview was, and also what was, by that I meant, you know, what we talked about. He did mention to me a sports related thing that involves Detroit that I will discuss during the sports segment of our show and what it means. We will be, as I said, we will be discussing that when the appropriate time is here. And that is near the end of our broadcast. All right. Let me remind you that this episode has been brought to you by your local Dairy Queen, where you can grab a refreshing Blizzard treat on a nice summer day. And grab yourself, like I said, a nice Blizzard treat, whatever flavor you desire that they have. Maybe you're a big fan of peanut butter. Maybe you're a big fan of Oreo. Maybe you're a big fan of cotton candy, which is one of the summertime limited edition ones. But you can find it at your local DQ, where happy tastes good. Price and participation may vary. Tax at extra. See store for details. I will also remind you that I will be on vacay the next couple of weeks. Vacay. There will be shows. There won't be one on the 29th. 28th is iffy, but we will have one on the 30th, more than likely. And then we'll at least have one on the 5th, 6th, or 7th. And 1 to 2. But I don't know for sure how that's going to work. We're figuring that out. I'll try to keep you abreast. So just know that I'm going to be on the air. I shall also remind you of our regular announcements. Number one, the book, Rivers of Miracles. I really want to make sure that you read that book. If you read this book, it's a very touching book. It's the story of my life. It's a story of how grateful God has been in my life. And talks about all the different miracles that have been manifest in my life so far. And I know God is not done doing miracles for me. He is not done doing miracles for me. That's a proven statement. And you can take that to the bank. And and it's just a great testimony of the faithfulness of God in my life. And I continue to believe God for, among other things, my eyesight to be restored, for my right ear to be able to hear perfectly, and for various other things that I'm believing for God to do for me. And I have not given up faith. I still have faith. I continue to press on, continue to believe, continue to just walk in his faith. Amen. The other thing I want to mention, you can go online to riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, riversofmiracles.com, to find out more information about how you can get your hands on the book, as I really want the book to be a blessing to you. Amen. Now, the other thing that I want to mention to you is our PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com to sow a seed into the Miracle Man So, and I would highly, strongly encourage you to sow a seed tonight. If the show has been a blessing to your life in any way, shape, or form, and I don't ask for you to sow a seed so that it's not about the money. It's about, I want you blessed. And there's no return on your tithe. When you bring the tithe into the storehouse, when you bring the tithe, that rebukes the devourer. What's the devourer? Oh, sickness, disease, depression, oppression, a lot of things. But when you sow an offering, that is when you start to see the return. That is when you start to see a true return. And of course, I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to be cursed. I want you to be blessed of the Lord. And so we still have a month to go of the heaps. So keep activating that. And so, as you sow your seed tonight, the verse I want you to stand on tonight is, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to the stock market, not according to the price of gas, not a price, the price of gold or other commodities. No, according to his riches and glory. Amen. So may the Lord bless you as you sow your seed. We're going to get into worship, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. And then at the end, we have a little bit of sports to talk about. I want to scream it out from every mountaintop. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. Well, no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans deep only reflect this truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, to me. With a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. And in the sun or rain, my life celebrates, you are good, you are good. And when a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. And within the sun or rain, my life celebrates, you are good, you are good. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good to me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. There will be no one like you, no one beside you. Alone are worthy of all praise. There will be no one. No. Your presence is all I need. The song, all I want, all I seek, and without it, without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need. And without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other, there is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Your presence is all I need, it's all I want, it's all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. None like you, Lord. There will be no one like you, no one beside you. Alone, worthy of our praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you. Alone, worthy of our praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you. Alone, worthy of all praise. There will be no like you, no one beside you. Alone, worthy of all praise. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There's no other name be lifted high. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no other name be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, That's our goal. And so today his army will fight with heart and soul. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. Holy Ghost, you wonderful Holy Ghost, the wind blowing strong, blowing from heaven. We have decided to go all the way with our God. Revival in the land, that's our goal. And so today his army will fight with heart and soul. Blood and fire, we call upon blood and fire, a stream flowing strong, flowing from heaven, flowing blood and fire. We call upon blood and fire, a stream flowing strong, a stream flowing strong, flowing from heaven. So to yourself in righteousness, we stand in awe. Mommy, break up the foul ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains his righteousness upon you. A mighty rain, a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave, a mighty wave and a mighty wind, a mighty rain and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Lord, we've heard, Lord, we've heard of your mighty works. We stand and look and of you alone, revive the enemy. Now is the time to make them known. A mighty rain and a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty rain, a mighty rain and a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. So to yourselves in righteousness, break up the foul ground. It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and reigns his righteousness upon you. A mighty rain, mighty wave and a mighty wind is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Lord, we've heard. Lord, we've heard of your mighty word. We stand in awe of you alone. Revive, revive the inner me. Now is the time to make them known. The mighty rain and the mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind, it's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. A mighty wave and a mighty wind, a mighty wave and a mighty wind, is coming from heaven, raising up his people again. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. It's coming from heaven, raising up his people again. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for what you are to us, for what you've done in us and through us. We just thank you, Lord God, tonight. Thank you that your hand is upon our life. Thank you that you go before us. You hem us in. Thank you, Lord God. We've worshiped you. We've praised you. And now we're going to study in your word for a few minutes. I pray that everyone who has tuned into this broadcast is ready to receive something from you, Lord God. Whatever it is that they're believing for from you. If it's healing, whether it's healing, whether it's something financial, whatever it is. And I speak health to all of us in the name of Jesus, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet. That those of us who need a healing, we would be healed in our bodies. Because you, Lord God, are the healer. You are our healer. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're working in us, through us. And I thank you for this word going forth tonight, that it would go forth with boldness and simplicity, that these people would have a heart to, would have the focus to concentrate and to stick with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program, that finances would come into this program, that increases in listenership would come into this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Let's make our Bible confession, because the Word of God says that we can have the fruit of our lips. So let's do this. This is my Bible. I am what the Word says I am. I can have what the Word says I can have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it's more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer, therefore I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Wave that Bible around and make the devil mad a bit. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel 18. Amen. We're excited about the Bible here. It's a lot better than, oh, no, not that. I want to encourage you, listeners, whatever I do here for the next little bit, you follow along. Whatever I do, you do. So just be a part in that regard. Amen. To Samuel 18, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. David mustered the men who were with him and appointed over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. David sent the troops, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Joab's brother, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I myself will surely march out." The men said, "You must not go out. If we are forced to flee, they will not care about us. Even if half of us die, they will not care. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It would be better now for you to give us support from the city." The king answered, "I will do whatever seems best to you." So the king stood beside the gate while all the men marched out in units of hundreds and units of thousands. The king commanded Joab, "Abishai, Ittai, be gentle with the young man Absalom, for my sake." And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders. The army marched into the field to fight Israel. And the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There, the army of Israel was defeated by David's men. And the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest claimed more lives that day than the sword. Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule. As the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak tree, Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding on kept on going. When one of the men saw this, he told Joab, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." Joab said to the man who had told him this, "What? You saw him? Why didn't you strike him down to the ground right there? Then I would have had to give you 10 shekels of silver and a warrior's belt." But the man replied, "Even if 1,000 shekels of silver, if 1,000 shekels were weighed out into my hands, I would not lift my hand against the king's son. In our hearing, the king commanded you, and Abishai and Ittai, protect the young man, Absalom, for my sake. And if I had put my life in jeopardy, in jeopardy, and nothing is hidden from the king, you would have kept your distance from me. Joab said, I am not going to wait like this for you. So he took 3 javels in the hand and plunged them into Absalom's heart while Absalom was still alive in the oak tree. And 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Then Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped pursuing Israel. For Joab halted them. They took Absalom, threw him into a big pit in the forest, and piled up a large heap of rocks over him. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their homes. During the lifetime, Absalom had taken a pillar and erected it in the king's valley as a monument to himself. For he thought, I have no son to carry on the memory of my name. He named the pillar after himself, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. Verse 19. Now, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, let me run and take the news to the king that the Lord has delivered him from the hand of his enemies. You are not the one to take the news today, Joab told him. You may take the news another time. You must not do it today, because the king's son is dead. Joab said to a Cushite, go. Tell the king what you have seen. The Cushite bowed down before Joab and ran off. Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, again said to Joab, come, let me run behind the Cushites. Joab replied, my son, why do you want to go? You don't have any news that will bring you a reward, he said. Come what may, I want to run. Joab said, run. Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite. While David was sitting beside the inner and outer gates, the watchman went up to the roof of the gateway to the wall. As he looked out, he saw a man running alone. The watchman called out to the king and reported it. The king said, if he is alone, he must have good news. The man came closer and closer. And the watchman saw another man running, and he called down to the gatekeeper, look, another man is coming alone. The king said, he must be bringing good news too. The watchman said, it seems to me that the first one runs like Ahimaaz, son of Zadok. He's a good man, the king said. He comes with good news. Then Ahimaaz called out to the king, all is well. He bowed down before the king with his face to the ground and said, praise be to the Lord your God. He has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king. The king asked, is the young man Absalom safe? Ahimaaz answered, I saw great confusion, just as Joab was about to send the king's servant and me, your servant. But I don't know what it was. The king said, stand aside, wait here. He stepped aside and stood there. Then the Cushite arrived and said, my lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has delivered you today from all who rose up against you. The king asked the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? The Cushite replied, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man. The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, is my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Chapter 19. Joab was told, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom and for the whole army. The victory that day was turned into mourning because on that day the troops heard it said, the king is grieving for his son. The man stole into the city that day as men steal in who are ashamed when they flee from battle. The king covered his face and cried aloud, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Joab went into the house to the king and said, today you have humiliated all of your men who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commands and these men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom was alive today and all of us were dead. Now go out and encourage your men. I swear to the Lord, if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall. This will be worse for you than all the casualties that have come upon you from your youth until now. The king got up, took his seat at the gateway. When the men were told, the king is sitting in the gateway, they all came before him. Verse 9. Meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes throughout the tribes of Israel. The people were all arguing with each other, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies. He is the one who rescued us from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled the country because of Absalom." And Absalom, who we anointed to rule over us, has died in battle. Why do you say nothing but bringing the king back? King David sent this message to Zadok and to Abiathar the priests. Ask the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his place, his palace? Since what is being said throughout Israel has reached the king at his quarters, you are my brothers, my own flesh and blood. So why should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my own flesh and blood? May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you now on you are not the commander of my son in place of Joab. He won over the hearts of all the men of Judah as though they were one man. They sent word to the king, return, you and all your men. Then the king returned and sent you as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 Benjamites along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 14 sons and 20 servants. They pushed into the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, "May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shimei be put to death for this. He cursed the Lord's anointed." David replied, "What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? I don't know that. So today I am king over Israel." So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die. when the king promised him no oath. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day that he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" He said, "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame," I said, "I will have my donkey saddled. I will ride on it so I can go with the king. Ziba, my servant, betrayed me. He has slandered your servant, my lord the king. Lord the king is like an angel of God. So do whatever pleases you. All of my grandfather's descendants deserve nothing but death for my lord the king. You gave your servant a place among those who sat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king?" The king said to him, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the fields." Mephibosheth said to the king, "We should take everything now that my lord the king has. Some of the men invited you. But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is good and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of men and women, singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return so that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father with him. But here is your servant, Kenam. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever pleases him." The king said, "All the people crossed the Jordan, and then the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and gave him his blessing. Barzillai returned to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, and crossed with him, all of the troops of Judah and half of the troops of Israel had taken the king over. Soon all the men of Israel were coming to the king and saying to him, 'Why did our brothers, the men of Judah, steal the king away and bring him and his household across the Jordan together with all his men?' All the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, 'We did this because the king is closely related to us. Why are you angry about it? Have we eaten any of the king's provisions? Have we taken anything for ourselves The men of Israel answered the king of Judah, "We have 10 shears in the king." And we have greater claim than you have. So why do you treat us with contempt? Were we not first to speak of bringing back our king? But the men of Judah responded even more harshly than the men of Israel. So what you have here, David, they had put the people into groups of thousands and groups of hundreds. Groups of thousands and groups of hundreds. So they could go on their own. They thought Absalom riding on a mule, and then Absalom's mule had been, Absalom's head got caught in an oak tree. But the mule he was riding on kept going. So his head was stuck. So some of David's people ended up striking Absalom down. Absalom ended up dying. But David longed for Absalom. And Absalom and David were close. But David generally always had a, but he was sad that his son Absalom had died because he was one of his sons. And this is even though Absalom wasn't always the greatest. He didn't exactly do what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the time. But but like I said, that mule just kept on going. Now, it's different from this, but in a way it sort of reminds me of that story when Rebelam in the Bible, he was riding on his donkey. His donkey wasn't doing what he wanted the donkey to do. It wouldn't go. It wouldn't do the different things. To try to get the donkey to go, he beat him. He kicked him. And then so that he wouldn't kick his donkey, the Lord even opened up. The Lord literally opened up the mouth of that donkey. So the donkey said, "Hey, why are you doing this to me?" And obviously the Lord thought it was serious, otherwise why would he be opened the mouth of that donkey? But Joab and these other men of the king, they thought David would have been happy that Absalom was dead. But he wasn't happy that Absalom was dead, because it was his son. Even though he wasn't right with God. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we would put your word to practice in our lives. I pray that we would be the people, the Christians that you want us to be. Help us to be not what we want to be, but what you want us to be. And just help us as we go through our lives to always be a blessing, and that we would just live for you the way you would want us to. That we would always put you first no matter what. We would always make sure that you are our first love. Not nothing else would be ahead of that in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Coming to sports. Tigers fall 5-3 to the St. Louis Cardinals last night, as they have messy issues going on with the pitching. In baseball of more local nature, the Loons did get a 9-1 win over the Lake County, Ohio Captains, as Lake County is in, like I said, it's from that state to the south. Got to start being careful with that again, because in a couple months we'll be back to football season. And during the football season, thou shalt not say the O word on the broadcast. But the Loons are playing again tonight at home. Now, the Pistons have just gotten the number one overall pick in the NBA lottery draft. They'll have to wait till July, when the actual draft is, to find out who their pick is. Hopefully it'll be a good pick. It'll be someone who's good. It won't be a bust. Because I don't know about you, but I do not like busts. I do not like busts. I remember the year, it was almost 15 years ago, that DeMarcus Russell was picked number one in the NFL draft. He turned out to be a complete bust. Charles Rogers was a high pick in the NFL draft. Charles Rogers from Saginaw. He made a big mess of himself. Died. So hopefully the Pistons can get a good pick, not one who's a bust off the court or even on the court. I want him to be good on the court. Matthew Stafford was very good for the Lions. He did very good at completing passes, you know, and lots of touchdowns. He set records for the amount of thrown touchdowns. But now he's with someone else. All right. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, No plague shall come nigh it, our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no evil or harm shall come near us, and we'll live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. I sure love you. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.